Today, we're going to discuss the shift in technology to a highly software-centric model and how Cisco is changing their go-to-market strategy to address this shift. We will cover measures of success, business outcomes, Cisco software, Cisco One, and finally, a value summary. Let's bring to the stage Dean Romero, Practice Manager for Software and Lifecycle Services.
Hi, Angie. Pleasure to be here.
And Mike Taylor, Vice President of IT.
Hi, Angie. Good to see you. Dean.
Hi, great to see you.
Yeah, you too.
So, Mike, let's begin with you. As an IT executive of a large global organization, do you find that your company is being measured differently now than you have been in the past?
I don't think the measurements are any different. I think the expectations continue to be a lot higher. And I would focus that in a couple of areas. The first being the impact and the connectedness that we have to drive to our constituents, whether they're customers, employees, or partners that we're working with. Those expectations are high. We have a global workforce, so the idea of connecting and interconnecting systems and people is very important, I think, to driving increased levels of collaboration and efficiency in the organization. We like to try to differentiate ourselves along with those outcomes to an extent with customer service, so an experience that is fundamentally different and meets or beats expectations of those that we interact with. And then traditional measurements that have been around in terms of increasing our productivity and reducing our overall cost to drive our operations. All those things are there. I think the elements that are new or changing and dynamic is around the rate of innovation, the connectedness of ideas, and the speed with which we're having to continue to offer and integrate services for our customers and partners.
And Mike, that's extremely consistent with what we hear from our enterprise customers as well. The success criteria by which they're measured today is basically the same as they have been for years, if not decades. I think what's fundamentally changed in that is the speed to which they have to have those successes. So they're being tasked with being much more agile, much more responsive to the needs of the business. And the conversation itself has changed. Yesterday, part of those conversations were really around what the hardware platform was, the speeds, the feeds, what the new technology drivers are. Really now, our clients want to be focused on business outcomes. They want to know how technology is going to drive success solutions within their business. And ROI is no longer the leading indicator of purchasing that. It's really how technology is aligned to producing that success.
I think all those points are fair. I think the phrase that we've used before is, it isn't sufficient to offer Wi-Fi and warm coffee, right? There needs to be a more integrated experience there. And I think with the advent of, the consumerization of technology and the availability of technology and tools, those things in conjunction continue to drive us to think more innovatively and frankly have to plan and react more quickly to those changes and transitions in the market. So all of those are of significant importance to us. I think at the end of the day, they map to the goals that we talked about, which I think are resonant in most organizations that are out there today.
Mike, what are the challenges that you're facing as you move away from that hardware-centric model to the software-centric model?
Yeah, and I think of it a little differently, in a sense that we've been using, consuming, managing software in conjunction with enterprise systems to deliver things like financials management or supply chain management out to our organization and the companies that we work with. I think the advent of software, a software-based mindset and a software plus systems-based mindset and an infrastructure group is what's new and emerging. And I really look at those challenges on the infrastructure side as an opportunity for us to take lessons learned, efficiencies gained from our enterprise software side of things and start integrating them into the infrastructure aspects of what we do. So management of distributed systems have been around for a while, now looking at management of distributed infrastructure and the management of workloads and elements that move around that infrastructure as we go global, as we become more interconnected. Those things are going to be important to us. I think the idea that hardware companies are looking at software as a differentiator is an important transition point for organizations to gain efficiency and effectiveness on the infrastructure side. So I think those are probably resonant with the plan and the strategy around Cisco One, and talk more about that.
And I think Cisco has seen a fundamental shift in the market. I mean, they see those same trends. They talk to customers a lot, and they're seeing that very consistent with what you're looking at. And as they change their go-to-market strategy to be more of a software-centric strategy, they wanted to build that strategy really upon four major pillars. And the first of those is really making user experience come first. I think in the past, the way Cisco has developed their technology has really been a very siloed approach. And that approach really comes with its own adoption criteria, its own goals, its own measurements, its own market strategy. And that's led to, you know, a lot of confusion, certainly from a user experience portion, but also in some cases, even just with interoperability. So they really wanted to focus on customer delight and ensuring that what their solution is really interoperable across platforms. I think the second portion of that is they wanted to make sure that everything is cloud ready. So regardless of where you want to deploy your software, whether that be on-premise, whether that be a hybrid cloud strategy, or whether you wanted to go to a fully managed cloud strategy, that Cisco One would be able to provide that. And then second is really making sure that it's simple and open. So ensuring that it's automation and application aware to ensure that there's a converged infrastructure and an open development platform. But I think finally, that not technology specific, is really ensuring that the consumption model, ensuring that there's other alternatives instead of just a CapEx or a leasing model, things that are being introduced that allow more alignment with the way clients consume today.
Yeah, I think those are all, I mean, even kind of building on the transparency to budget features, connecting those to predictability, all those things are pretty important. I think, you know, the pieces as I look at, you know, challenges and that we have, I mean, you can think of instances where you're in an environment, you have something you think you own, or you're ready to deploy that next great thing, and you don't have it. You realize it's a PO, or you realize it's a feature, you know, that we haven't extended. So that the portability aspect and the perpetual ownership of those licenses, I think, is a key component to what you're describing in terms of predictable budget. Yeah, going back to then, you know, do I have the features that I need to deliver the outcome at the speed that I need to? Are they resident in what I've purchased in the infrastructure that I'm running? So can you talk a little bit more about the portability aspect and the entitlement aspect of the model?
Sure, and I think, you know, the things that you're referencing are consistent with most, if not all, of the clients that we talk to. And so the way that really Cisco wanted to develop the strategy was, number one, to allow you to own that software, right? So that you're entitled to it. You no longer have to purchase it again when you get rid of your hardware, and that becomes an extremely expensive proposition, especially in today's very budget-conscious world.
Yeah, I would just point out, when I look at purchase orders and things moving through our system, consistently, you know, for hardware-based solutions with software attached, it was eye-opening to me as we started inspecting that's more of a 60-40, 50-50 split. So, you know, when we talk to the teams about what we have and what we're purchasing, essentially that software is tied to the hardware. The life cycle for that software is determined by the life cycle of that hardware. And at the end of that period of depreciation or usable life, we've now taken essentially 50% of that asset, and we're going to go and we're going to have to reinvest.
Yep. You're exactly right.
Yep.
And I think the other part of that is just the speed at which technology is changing too, Mike. I mean, the fact that you're continuing to innovate, you're continuing to have to keep up with technology, and being able to provide you continued value for your software purchase, I think, was essential in their strategy. They definitely wanted to focus on business outcomes. I think, you know, listening to the customers, knowing that, ensuring that they're focusing on those outcomes, focusing the strategy on those outcomes, I think, was also a big part in developing this go-to-market. And finally, providing additional flexible purchase options that are very aligned to the way clients want to purchase. And really, in developing all of that, that's what's become Cisco One.
So as we're talking through it, even the comments about, you know, having what you need at the time that you need it, and the retirement of software in conjunction with the hardware. One of the key points there for me to understand, I think our audience to understand, is how does the transportability work? You know, traditionally, even when I talked about that enterprise software, the house, the side of the house, those can be tricky, you know, in terms of what do I own in conjunction with new features, in conjunction with acquisitions that have been made in that space. So talk to me maybe and describe it in a little bit more detail on the portability and transportability of those licenses across hardware devices or infrastructure platforms.
Oh, and I think, honestly, Mike, the best way to start in explaining the new world is to take a look at the old, right? And so in today's world, the way that you purchase Cisco is multiple feature sets. Those multiple feature sets each have their own metering devices sometimes.
Yeah.
They're tied to specific different cost structures. And so when you start adding all of those things together, you come up with literally hundreds of different SKUs that you have to put together to ensure a solution will work. Well, there's inherent risk in doing that. I think second, and you alluded to this, is today the software, the features are tied to the hardware. So when you go through a refresh cycle, you're getting rid of that piece of hardware. You're essentially throwing out the software as well. And that can become extremely costly over time. And finally, again, there's only a couple of ways to purchase today. You either write a check in a CapEx model, or you sign a lease if you're, you know, looking to more of an OpEx model. And I think Cisco One is really addressed to change all of that. So first, all of those hundreds of different combinations of SKUs and feature sets have really been boiled down to essentially 13. And those 13 now have a bundle of all of those feature sets specific to an outcome that a client is trying to achieve. I think the second part of that is Cisco has now decoupled the software from the hardware. So as you go through refresh cycles, as you're, again, purchasing your software, now that you purchased it today, you know that as you go through refresh cycles, you're no longer having to purchase that software again. You're essentially entitled to it for the rest of the time. And that part of portability is really essential. I think third is, as Cisco continues to innovate, as they continue to acquire companies that have state-of-the-art technology and incorporate those innovations, those new changes in technology into the Cisco One platform, as long as you maintain your Swiss contract, you're going to have entitlement to those new features. So in terms of cost predictability,
sure.
Now you don't have to worry about, again, writing another PO, another justification
right.
for expense. You're essentially keeping up with that innovation. And finally, as they go along and create new ways to consume the software, things like subscription pricing, things like the Advantage Volume Purchase Option, and other new expansive enterprise license agreements, all of those come together, and I think they solve a lot of those problems.
I think that sounds great, but I'm sure Cisco One only covers a smaller subset of their technology, right?
You would think that, but essentially it's quite the opposite. Cisco One really is centered around the core of what Cisco delivers today. So data center, which includes network and compute, WAN, and also access, which includes switching and wireless. And within each one of those domains, they're basically layered. So within each one, you start with a foundation layer. And that foundation layer includes your network capabilities, it includes your security, and your system software. On top of that is really layered the second or advanced applications. And those advanced applications are key to developing things like data center fabric, enterprise cloud suite, campus fabric, and mobility services. And finally, on top of all of that are advanced security services. Those advanced security services are things like threat defense for WAN and data center, including identity services for access as well.
What exactly is being offered in these three layers?
That's a great question. And essentially, I think that's where a tremendous amount of confusion happens within the marketplace. What Cisco is selling to you is essentially what you buy today. It's just really under a different construct. All of the features are the same you utilize, but now they're packaged just a little bit differently. And so when you look at those features and the feature sets, they're really built to address some of the most common business challenges, the common business outcomes that clients are trying to overcome. Things like hybrid cloud, data center automation, unified access, and next generation branch office. This is, and I think really this is where the major value of Cisco One occurs, because what you're looking at is you're receiving significant value for a greatly reduced price. When you compare that to what you would have to purchase in terms of an a la carte scenario, the way you would purchase today, it's much cheaper. And I think second, it greatly reduces the complexity at the time of purchase, as well as limiting the risk. You alluded to it earlier, Mike, when you said, you know, if you miss a feature set, that could be catastrophic in some senses. So knowing that when you're buying one Cisco One package, that it's addressing fully everything that you need to achieve that business outcome, that really lets you sleep better at night at the end of the day. And then the level of entitlement that you receive, I think, is one of the most key and intriguing parts of Cisco One. So essentially, as you look at all of these feature sets that are combined together, now you can look across your enterprise and see what you're entitled to by virtue of owning Cisco One, and you can measure that against maybe other point solutions that you have within your infrastructure that may be costing you sometimes millions of dollars. And if you can leverage your entitlements that you have by virtue of Cisco One, now all of a sudden you've driven down your overall TCO, and you're really getting your budget really more in line with where you want.
Mike, do you think that Cisco One is something that you could benefit from?
I do, and I would point out maybe before I answer that, I think going back to one of the points that you made, Dean, is you know the portability and transportability is going to be key to understand. And I think one thing to point out is the aggressive stance I think that Cisco is taking out of the gate here in terms of future capabilities, features, as I understand it, including acquisitions that could come into these product families that you would then be entitled to. But talk to me a little bit about, on the portability side, the transportability of those features from, you know, this physical device to that physical device. How does that work?
So essentially, it's really simple, and probably the best way to describe it is through an analogy. So I own an iPhone. Every 2 years, Cisco launches a new hardware platform. Of course, I want to buy the new hardware platform, whether that be for a new camera, a clearer screen, a larger phone size, whatever it is. But I've already made a significant investment in the applications, maybe in the music, maybe in the videos. But now those exist within the cloud. And so when that new shiny box with my iPhone comes in it and I unpackage it, within about 5 minutes, I can turn it on, download all of my applications, all of my music, all of my videos, and I'm good to go. Essentially, you can think of it in very much the same way with Cisco One. So as you go across hardware refresh cycles, as you move to a new, better platform in terms of the hardware, now you can essentially take what you're already entitled to from the software side and port it to that new hardware platform.
That makes sense. That helps.
I think one of the things that Cisco One provides, too, is the benefits across the ownership cycle. And I think that's very important. You look at things like at the time of purchase, now you have a very simplified model by which to purchase, right? That's addressing specific business outcomes, that's really providing you a tremendous amount of value at a discounted price. I think second is really in deployment. As you continue to gain value as Cisco innovates, as Cisco acquires new technology companies, incorporate that into the Cisco One platform, the value that you purchase today actually grows over time. That's a big deal. And then third, really at refresh, the license portability we talked about now, as you're looking at driving down your overall TCO spend, you don't have to throw away that, you know, 50 to 60% that you mentioned in software out the door. You now have intrinsic value because you can move your software to your new hardware platform.
Very informative. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with before we open the lines for questions from the audience?
Sure. I think when you're thinking about Cisco One, again, you want to remember four key things. And that's number one, that they're bundled with software suites. So these software suites are logical product bundles. They provide greater value, more features, and better together pricing. I think you have reduced complexity in that, right? So no longer do you have to have multiple feature sets that you're purchasing, but you're now looking at one single SKU level. I think second, investment protection. So again, as your software licenses are portable from one hardware platform to the next, you know that the money you spent today is going to continue to last and provide value into the future. You have that peace of mind that no longer do you have to have, you know, POs in the middle of your budget cycle to gain value on a new technology. I think ongoing innovation is a big part of that. And as, again, Cisco continues to innovate, as they continue to acquire companies with the state-of-the-art technology, as they add those to the Cisco One software suite, you gain that. You gain entitlement to that software. And finally, really the flexibility of purchasing. So now you have the options better aligned to the way you purchase as an enterprise, whether that be a subscription model, whether an advantage volume purchase model makes sense, or an enterprise license agreement.
That's a great summary, Dean. Mike, do you have any additional questions before we go out to the audience?
Yeah, I would just point out, you know, a couple of things. I think first, and I don't, you know, this is a no surprises thing. I think ordering software associated with Cisco hardware today is complicated, right? We have individuals probably like many organizations do where they're relied upon to be the point of inspection for quality in terms of, are we purchasing the right features? Do we have the right keys? Is it going to be associated to, you know, which device on the PO? It's a complicated process. So I think simplifying the front end of that and making it easier so that we don't experience one-off POs or one-off asks mid-year of thought we had it and we didn't. So that is a big deal, and that does happen in our organization. I'm sure it happens in many others that are out there. As I look at it and I look at, you know, how we're figuring out to introduce this, I had two questions. The first, and then I'll go through a misconception that I have that we probably are up to. But the first is, how do you start? I think there's a perspective, and certainly I had this to start with, that in order to begin coming into the program and purchasing by these means, I had to go out and make a refresh or a WAN refresh or a core refresh or a significant purchase in order to gain the value and kind of get, quote unquote, into the program. So talk a little bit about how do you get in? You know, what are the means to do so?
Well, and I think you've identified one of the biggest misconceptions in terms of utilizing Cisco One. You don't have to wait for a significant event. You don't have to wait for a large refresh within your system, or maybe you have a new greenfield data center build. You don't have to wait for those events. You can essentially buy Cisco One on your next switch, on your next router. Because of that, because of the feature sets, again, basically being the same, that interoperability is there.
Yeah, and I think that was the second misconception that I had when I first read about it and kind of saw it coming out, was that it's a new platform, you know, that Cisco One is this one sort of unified platform, different products, different code bases, different, you know, different everything. And so talk a little bit about how that truly is a misconception and how they're, you know, integrated and feature comparable.
And it goes back to just packaging, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
yeah,
what you're buying are the feature sets that you utilize today. You're just really buying them in an entitlement package. And so those feature sets, again, if you're using them today and you're buying that same comparable Cisco One that has that same feature set, they're automatically compatible. You are entitled to a tremendous amount more software in that purchase, but that doesn't mean you have to turn it on. That doesn't mean you have to use it. But essentially, those feature sets that you're using today become immediately intercompatible.
That's helpful. And those were just two, Angie, that when this first started stirring up, that we needed to understand more here, even internally, in terms of the services and offerings that we deliver on. So, thank you.
Thanks, Dean and Mike. Allison, do we have any questions from the webinar audience?
Sure, we have a few. Some that we've collected, we'll start with, I saw Cisco One applied to data center WAN and access. Will this apply to other technologies as well?
I think that's yet to be seen. Certainly as Cisco sees the success that Cisco One has and the fact that customers are being able to utilize it more effectively within their enterprise, where they're seeing the really cost value come in and the lower TCO, I'm sure at some point that will move into a broader technology set.
Okay. Do you have to purchase an ELA to obtain Cisco One?
That's actually a great question. I think this question comes
up. That was another one that I had. Yeah.
I think because of the launch points, we're very much at the same time that people think that Cisco One is an ELA, and it couldn't be further from the truth. Cisco One is really just again a bundled, compartmentalized level of feature sets. It's just a new offer. An ELA is just a way to purchase Cisco One. So to answer the question, no, you don't have to purchase Cisco One with an ELA. You can essentially purchase it the same way you purchase regular Cisco today.
So that was one, you know, maybe a follow-up to that one. The impression, I had the same impression when it came out, that the two were very tightly coupled. But are there advantages, you know, even thinking through, you know, certain points in time back to the refresh of a WAN network or your core, where it makes sense to look at it not from a standpoint of, okay, I'm going to buy these individual components using Cisco One and look maybe if I am going to do a large refresh of a particular aspect, is that the point in time where it makes sense to say, let's look at the overall consumption of the software and determine if there's a better scalable model?
And again, I think that gets back, Mike, to the fact that you don't have to wait for some significant or compelling event to have that conversation. Really, you can talk about whether an ELA makes sense today. And essentially, the way Cisco One works is if you've purchased Cisco hardware within the last couple of years, you can have some brownfield or mid-cycle refresh to be able to enable Cisco One on your existing equipment. And so by virtue of that, you can look at an ELA today and whether it makes sense in your business model.
So I think one last question that we'll go through here is, you talked about different software suite tiers like Foundation and Advanced. Does Foundation include iOS?
So iOS doesn't change. iOS still comes resident with the hardware itself. Cisco One just really layers on top of everything that you purchase from a hardware standpoint.
Thank you for joining us today to discuss some of the basics around Cisco One. You will receive an email containing a link to today's presentation. But we also encourage you to learn more about this. Reach out to your worldwide technology representative, and please visit our website at wwt.com.